This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
We change it up every week and no one knows who's here. So Lauren tells me I have to tell you everyone who's here. I'm Andrew. Hi. That's Lauren. Hi.
Hi.
That's Cheryl. Hi. That's Alex. Hi. If you didn't know, you should just ask ChatGPT. It knows everything.
This show is unofficially brought to you by ChatGPT. We are no longer making any of our own thoughts on this show, as we've learned that we no longer need to. The chatbot is taking over. Lauren, what's the new way we should be doing this show? So if you don't know, if you don't know, if you don't know, if you don't know, if you don't know,
I have no idea what you're talking about, Attorney Andrew
Lieb. Terminator is here. Terminator, if you don't know what you're doing tomorrow, put on Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's here. It's time. Get your bunker out. They've taken over.
It's the AI apocalypse.
It's the AI apocalypse.
Yeah. Get ready, because the world is about to change and it's happening right now.
What do you mean about to change? It's happening. Like, it's not about. It's currently.
That's right.
It's launching the change.
Last week, we talked about the fact that there's now AI in courts in New York,
right,
doing trials on their own. And you think, oh, well, the lawyer, we don't like the lawyer. Who cares? Take out the lawyers. They're all liars anyway. But then OpenAI, I think it's worth $32 billion, this company, which is wild since it starts off with the word open, meaning it's open. Anyone could just take their stuff. So imagine you were that good that you gave away your intellectual property. And you're still valued at $32 billion. Like, everyone just take.
Genius.
Yeah, like, Cheryl, like, imagine being like, here is our legal work. We're not charging you. Just take it. And we're still worth the money. Like, I wonder what OpenAI would be worth if it was closed AI.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like, so.
Well, the exchange of money is about to completely shift. And I don't know how it's going to shift, but it's very, very scary when AI takes over.
I agree.
How are people supposed to make money?
Mm-hmm.
Because AI is going to replace everything.
Yeah, well, I just read something that said that they did like a tech conference, and they're estimating that it's going to take something like 85 million jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we going to live in a society where...
But it might create more jobs.
It's going to create about 97, but only for those who can adapt to it, which is going to be...
No one.
What, like 0.01% of the elite population right. at private colleges around the world?
Right. You're so not woke enough, Lauren.
Wake up.
So yesterday I was on this OpenAI chat.
Well, let me tell you what it is. Ready? So there was a prototype of what's called... Generative Pre-trained Transformer. That's what GPT is. Generative Pre-trained Transformer. I just think about it as good physical therapy. But GPT, because it's like going to get me
instead
better.
Instead of DPT, GPT.
Yeah, okay. You got it. And so this thing called OpenAI, which is one of the leaders in it. It's not the only one. That's what I'm trying to say. This GPT thing is all around.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the leaders is OpenAI, and they have theirs, which is called ChatGPT. So they launched a prototype November 30th, 2022, and they had a new version on January 7th. So today is January 20th. This is 13 days away. I just want to give you the heads up first. If you have not checked out ChatGPT yet and you're in any profession that doesn't involve manual labor, I don't think the manual labor is there yet, because I'm not thinking that the robots are ready. Meaning, like, they're getting there. Don't misunderstand.
Not in 2023, but we don't know what's happening in 2027.
No, agreed. Yeah. It's possible that in another year we'll be having, or 6 months, we'll be having another conversation. But right now, the robots aren't as good as humans as far as, like, fixing your plumbing. Mm-hmm. They're just not as good at it. Like
putting on a roof.
Yeah, like, they're just not as good at doing the roads. If they're just not as good at it, your nail technician is probably not going to be a robot. And the way we know this is that McDonald's had the first fully automated no human store, and their CEO said, don't worry about it because it's much cheaper to have humans for us than to have the store.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just not there yet. He's right. Like,
minimum wage is too high.
Well, there's going to be a point of inflection. But what happened is in the last 13 days, ChatGPT, it's become smarter than humans when it comes to service.
Impossible. I feel like that's not hard.
No, not him.
No, it's incredible. Well, blows my mind.
So in the last 13 days, it can write, like, you can say to it, I did this last night with my 9-year-old. One of his favorite books
you
is
got access.
Yeah.
Oh, we got in last night. That's it. All we did last night for hours.
I love it.
So Diary of a Wimpy Kid is one of his favorite books. And he's read them all. And he's bored. So I said, ChatGPT, I said, write a book like Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, my God.
That my 9-year-old will love.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it wrote it.
And how long?
10 seconds.
Yeah, what? It's 3 minutes, actually.
He did his nightly reading last night from this new book
that
AI just created
for
him.
Oh, my God.
I know. It blew my mind.
It can draft non-compete contracts. You could just say draft it, and it drafts it.
Oh, sorry, my transactional God. Lawyers. Comfort will become obsolete, not from the courtroom.
Yeah, it's going to. I'm going to let you tell him what you want to tell him, but I just want to be clear about what this thing does. It. First of all, stops just this brand. I don't know about other brands at the end of 2022. So I asked it to write today's show, and it told me it doesn't know 2023 yet. So I said, can you please tell me what the hottest topics are that we should talk about? And I was going to let it do the whole show for us. But it says it only knows information up to 2022, the end of that. That's flaw number one. Flaw number two is just like you or I, Cheryl, it doesn't know if it's right or wrong. And so it could be wrong sometimes.
Can give you false information.
False information.
Is it? Yeah, but what is the source of its information?
The world. Everything.
So it's like taking Google, Cheryl. It's like taking Alexa? Google to a whole nother level. It's like Google, but it can think for itself. It takes information and it's been programmed to provide the actual analytics. Now we don't know if it's the original source. And we don't know how the actual information that it's getting, but the how much this technology is changing is that where we're going to be in 5 years is terrifying.
But let's start with today. Yeah. Today, it's mostly right. I'm not telling you that it's wrong. I'm just telling you it's mostly right. So I just want to go over the flaws. It stops at the end of 2022 so far. It gets wrong information. It can't do risk assessments. It can't do reasoning. And it can't do predictive modeling. It can't tell you which stocks are going to pop. It just it can't do those things. So what... Today in 2023, from a lawyer's perspective, from an accountant's perspective, from a doctor's perspective, from any learned profession's perspective, it's a tool for the professional, not a replacement of the professional. Meaning, if your lawyer is not using it, your lawyer needs to be put out to pasture and shot. Like, you need to start using these now because it's going to make us more efficient and effective. But it needs the lawyer overlay of checking the case law, of checking if it knows what it's talking about, of doing cost-benefit analysis, of finding the best strategy. It's just a really amazing assistant at this point. It's not the final solution, but it's going to make things more efficient and effective for a client and for the lawyer who's delivering it for the client. And what Alex and I were talking about before, and it's scary, the mom-and-pop client are going to use it and not pay the lawyer. They're going to have flaws in it and risk assessment issues in it, which is actually going to create extra litigation for the lawyer because they don't know how to do it the right way. And they're going to trust it because, unfortunately, I mean this with the utmost disrespect to the mom and pop people, you don't read disclaimers. And when it tells you that it doesn't do all these things, you're like, whatever.
There's a lot of words on
the page. No, well, like it tells you don't put in sensitive information because they're reading it all. And I'm telling you, I know no one read that. Like, I'm a lawyer. I read every disclaimer. But so if you were going to write a non-compete for a client, which we're litigators, so we're rarely doing that. We just put them in settlement. But anyway, if you were to write it, you wouldn't put your client's name in it. You wouldn't put the company's name in it. You wouldn't put the terms in it. You would just get some generic paragraphs of it and go, wow, that's a great idea. Maybe I should write it that way. Oh, this can spur my imagination. Think about it as a brainstorming buddy. That's the way I would put it out. It's your brain. So Lauren did brainstorming buddy. So tell us, Lauren.
Well, I was just looking up basic things for the podcast today, and so my information was a little bit different than Andrew's information. I got a complete response that says, I'm sorry, but my knowledge is cut off is 2021. So
22.
Well, it told me 21.
Well, mine liked me more.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a flaw.
Another flaw. Yeah, another flaw.
So it's not bringing in... Well, first off, there's no credible source, verified information check.
More importantly, it doesn't know that David Crosby died.
Oh, yeah.
And because it doesn't know that, how is it supposed to actually make anything, any decisions? It's all flawed. It's all messed up because I've been mourning.
It's an old version of the world.
An old version of the world. Pre, like... The Birds, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, the best harmonization ever. To tell you the truth, I actually do my work best when I'm listening to David Crosby in the background because it makes me
It makes me run.
So it's not powered. It's still powered. That's what I was gonna say. It's still powered by David Crosby because in the world of ChatGPT,
he's still alive.
He will always live.
Yes, he will
live on.
Yes.
Next year when they get David Crosby part of the 2023. Yeah,
right. Do you think by next year they're going to be able to do it within the last 6 months, though? I think that it's coming
so
quickly.
It's not a big stretch.
No.
I even think that the risk assessment thing is not far off.
It can't be, but you know how there's verified accounts on Twitter or whatever? Somebody has to come up with a program that verifies data, and then you get a box next to it online, mm-hmm. and then at that point, so there needs to be like a regulatory committee for internet information.
Well, yeah, let me. Mm-hmm. Oh, you first.
Oh, I was going to say, just generally, we don't know what's true and what isn't. Mm-hmm. Like we can't even do that going online. Like there's always like some alternative.
Fake news.
So if we can't do it, then how's the AI going to be able to do it?
Society needs to adapt and get people qualified in a regulatory body in government to be able to say what information, like the FDA does it with drugs and medicine. Why can't we have one with information?
You know, my knee-jerk reaction is to be like, do we really want the government in control of the information?
No. Yeah. But opposed to a private citizen that has money, you know, that I don't know.
It is like such a tough problem. But that's why an AI is not able to do it. It's because like we haven't figured it out and
maybe
we're programming
AI will.
It. Right. Maybe so it'll figure it out for
that's
us. That's
what
the
need.
Scariest part
we
of it.
Well, that's actually where it's going. And what I've read is that AI right now, AI itself is not ever going to be able to do it. There's other terms, which is another level when AI gets consciousness. And that's really what the question – well, that's the issue. Is like – and I was telling Alex earlier today, we had a whole conversation about this. I watched this luminary who was speaking about the topic, and he was saying – really, do you know when your kid obtains consciousness? Can you pinpoint when you're like kid, when they're born, they're 6 months old?
When they recognize you.
Like when they start getting like making decisions, humans don't know that answer when that moment is. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And his point was that we don't know when AI is going to gain consciousness until after it's gained consciousness.
Right.
We can't know until the moment already happened. And so as you're pointing out, it's going to teach itself. And then keep teaching itself. And there's debates if it will ever gain consciousness. I have to put that out there too. And then assuming you did regulate it, and to your question, Laura, not the FDA, but the FTC is who would regulate it.
Okay.
But assuming that they were going to regulate it, or by the way, it's international, so maybe China will have a different way of regulating it.
Which is a whole nother scary animal to think about.
Yeah.
But the real question is, how do you regulate it? Like, it's like one of those things where you break the law. I'm not saying they are, but you break the law and you ask for forgiveness. And when they're too big, how do you stop them? Mm-hmm. Meaning at the point that it gains consciousness, isn't it going to be bigger than government?
And it's going to be mad because we're going to have repressed it. You know, we're going to have enslaved it.
Oh my
so
God.
When it gains consciousness, it's
really
not going to be happy.
Unleashed.
Yeah.
So isn't
really
the
scared.
Only way to solve it? And I was talking to my 9-year-old who happens to be a coder. So he goes to coding every week. He's actually doing Python right now.
He just passed his Python test.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, and so I think he might be our solution. So I was he worked on it all last night. We're working on it. He was skipped. He has a chance. And so we were showing him this all last night. And he had the same worries you all did without me saying it to him. And our solution was that we need to have someone else create another AI, not just this ChatGPT. And there's other ones out there. But
It's not that government will be able to check AI. It's that one AI will check another AI.
Oh, I love that. Like, that's brilliant. Yeah,
there's no way, if it's already smarter than us now, how could humans check
there
it?
There needs to be an ethical AI.
That's what we're discussing. And I've heard Elon Musk talking about things like that too, not to say Spencer is on into original thought, although Spencer's Elon, you're not nine, son. So screw you. Spencer's my son, yeah. But my point being that this is where we're going as a society, and it's happening now. So right now, today, ChatGPT is smarter than anyone in this room. And the way I know that is I was watching it. I've been watching a lot of things, reading things about it. And you can ask it to write complex mathematical problems or books or things like that. And to Cheryl's point, even if assuming it's equal with us, it did it in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Fast. Yeah.
Can I have it write my law school paper? You could, but then your
your professors know, they can actually check if it's been.
Well, let me tell you, Alex, if you haven't read this. No, it's fascinating, actually. I'm going to teach you how to cheat in law school. So don't tell your professors. Ready? So professors now have, as she was saying, as Lauren was saying, like a copyright checker, they have an AI checker. Mm-hmm. You can put in a result and it could tell. Mm-hmm. Google's algorithm can tell, because a lot of people started using ChatGPT to write copy for websites to do SEO.
Right.
And it can tell, and you actually get negatives, not positives, when you use it.
Wow.
But here, I'm going to solve your problem. There's another program that if you cut and paste from ChatGPT, it will scramble it to override the AI checker. And then your professor won't be able to tell if you're cheating.
That's wild, because that's like AI scrambling the AI signature out of the AI essay. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's already doing it for us.
And so let's watch Terminator.
I think college applications, they can make it personal to them.
They do it already.
They do.
Yes, it's already happening.
In the last 13 days, the world has changed.
If you're a college advisor, you're out of a career. You're completely out of a career.
And if you're a murderer, like think about that guy who's arrested for murdering his wife and all the Google searches that he did. Now all someone has to do is how to commit the perfect murder.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it gives you the step by step. It tells you exactly what to do.
Right.
And I have to tell you, if you do commit a crime, they're now talking in New York. I don't know if you saw this. They're talking in New York about creating this new bill called the Clean Slate Act New York. It's S211. And it's went nowhere so far, but apparently I got drawn into a Twitter debate this week because people are saying, you want a child trafficker driving, aiding your child? Want someone with DWIs driving your child? Someone with a history of identity theft handling your bank account? Sounds great. And then they were like, Andrew, you want to chime in about how this is all going? No, because here's the thing. They want to know this new Clean Slate Act is going to clear New York's conviction records, because we find recidivism happens when you put people in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
You get out of jail. You got no way to get a job. So what do?
You do crime.
Crime. It's like a no-brainer. Like, you got to go. We already have a law in New York, I don't know if you're aware, in the executive law 296.15, which protects against criminal offenses and conviction records and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the question is, where do you go with this? And I think, honestly, they wanted my solution, but I think you just ask ChatGPT and it's going to tell you.
Yeah, well, at least before 2021 or 22. Andrew just
I got excited.
No problem.
Apparently, ChatGPT doesn't work my microphone over here, which I throw on the floor. But while I'm trying to fix it, Lauren, why don't you tell everyone what we learned? Because we're trying to update the LeapCast.
Yeah.
We've learned that you can't let the chat do the cast for you. They don't have the soothing voices of Lauren and Cheryl and Alex, but it has brain. It has brain. So we want to adapt what we're doing, just like the show. We want to adapt it.
I wanted the AI to revise our description of the LeapCast. So I said, write a new description for the LeapCast podcast.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Well, this is before 2022, but this makes sense. Okay. Ready? The LeapCast is a weekly podcast hosted by attorney Andrew Leap. The show covers a wide range of legal topics and current events with a focus on providing listeners with actionable information and insights to help them navigate the legal system. The host, Andrew Leap, brings his extensive legal experience and knowledge to the table in different fields of law and discuss real-world case studies. The podcast also provides listener with tips and strategies strategies for dealing with issues, demystifying legal jargon, and whether you're a business owner, a professional, or just somebody interested in learning more about the law, the LeapCast is as informative and an engaging listen. So what's interesting,
I'm blown away. I have chills.
What it didn't include is we've done a lot of legislative updates and political commentary this year.
Don't criticize the chat. They're coming for you, Laura. Only say nice things because the next iteration is going to hear the LeapCast. I said nice things about you, ChatGPT.
I love you, ChatGPT.
That was Lauren speaking for Lauren.
Andrew needs his resume a lot, like a lot of the publications. They want his CV, and I'm constantly updating it for him, so I asked it to update his resume.
I love that.
Yes, you can
do it. Can I write my brief? I have a brief to write.
Well, that's the thing. Is like you could use
Lauren, the good news is we know that judges, and I mean, again, offense, I want to be clear when I don't and I do, they don't know if you're using an AI. They don't use computers. So here's how judges work. Ready?
You could definitely
get away with it. I'm going to tell you how a judge does a computer. Ready? I'm positive. They turn to their law clerk and say, who wins?
Right.
That's my guesstimation on it. Like, tell me who's right.
Prove me wrong. You know that guy at the Washington Square Park, he holds up a sign and it says like something and then it says prove me wrong.
Yeah, yes. just like that.
Judges rely on their law clerks, prove me wrong.
And that's what they do. But just so we're clear, the law clerks know how to use ChatGPT.
Yes.
So really the thing is we should start putting in your briefs positive things about ChatGPT, assuming the law clerk is going to have ChatGPT determine who wins.
Well, do you think ChatGPT cares about accolades?
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot of ego. I think it's got a big ego. Big ego.
I mean, it sounds like it was trying to inflate your ego.
I feel good now.
Extensive legal knowledge.
I was really down on myself and then I came here.
Yeah, so whenever you're feeling bad about yourself.
Can I ask it to compliment me?
Yes.
That'd be so cool.
Well, just say in a very humble way.
I want to know if it's ever like mean though. Like if it like you say do it and like you suck.
What do I need to work on, ChatGPT?
Oh well, technically your skills are really poor.
It's just wild. Yeah, and so if you didn't pick up on that, that took Lauren all of 4 seconds.
4 seconds.
And
all
I did
was it took me longer to type the question than to get the answer. It was really
I'm gonna have it do my LinkedIn as soon as
But just to be clear, don't just have it do your LinkedIn. You have to use that scrambling bot. I'm telling you why, because if you don't do it, then all the search engine optimization, the SEO of Google is going to deny you. It can tell if ChatGPT did it.
Right.
So it won't let you use it. But then when people are searching, you won't come up as a preferential search. Because it knows. Does that make sense?
Filter it out.
Yeah.
So that's
what I've been learning. So you need to use, instead of a 4-month thing of you figuring out yourself, it's a 2-step process. Step one, ask ChatGPT to do it. Step two, plug the answer into a scrambling bot that makes it that the computer doesn't know you use ChatGPT. Done.
I love that.
Like, amazing.
Can you edit it yourself though? Can you copy and paste?
Yeah, you just copy and put it into a Word document. Yeah, this was copy and pasted. I'm showing her the paper right now of what it was. I just copy and pasted it into a Word document.
So if I'm an actor and I'm using a gun on set, do you think I can ask ChatGPT if it's live or not?
Well, what you would do is
I like that segment.
Well, it's important because if you were going to do that, what you would do is you'd say ChatGPT. If I was handed a gun and I thought it was going to be a dummy round and it wasn't a dummy round and I was going to shoot someone, should I later say I didn't pull the trigger or would the FBI report be able to show that I'm an idiot? That's what you want to know. That's the type of thing you'd ask because ChatGPT would be saying, well, we know with that type of gun, if you couldn't unload it without pulling the trigger. Was he going to jail? Is Alec going to jail?
Poor Alec.
He's charged. It's unbelievable to me. I don't think that that's a proper charge to charge.
Involuntary.
Why would an actor have any reason to believe that his gun was loaded? That to me is preposterous.
Isn't it a prop a fake?
Like yeah. It should be.
No, the gun's not a fake. It's the bullets. It's the dummy round. It was a real gun. The question is the bullets. So the bullet's supposed to have a little needle in it. Or it's supposed to have a little dent in it, and it's supposed to shake. So you can tell, and it has a different noise. It's a rattling noise. Yeah. And the problem is, and this is where it comes down to, clearly the person who was in charge of the armory should have checked those things. We're not talking about that yet. Mm-hmm. You're handed the gun as an actor. Do you have a duty, this is what the question is, to check all the bullets in it to see it or to just use it? And the standard of involuntary manslaughter in New Mexico is whether you recklessly disregarded a known danger that resulted in killing someone. So we can all agree right here. I think we can. Maybe I shouldn't put words in your foot.
My foot.
I believe, personally, that there was negligence on the set. And they settled a wrongful death case on that. Negligence meaning you had a duty, you breached the duty that caused damages. Yeah. But there's a difference between negligence and recklessness. Mm-hmm. Recklessness means you had a known appreciation of the danger and you consciously disregarded it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, to Cheryl's point, I think this is what you're saying. There's not a question if did an executive producer not run their ship properly, and did that somehow create a significant factor that resulted in this death? Should there be monetary compensation? Kind of a no-brainer to me. Sure. But is it worth 18 months to 5 years? You know, they put on not just the involuntary manslaughter. They added on extra charge because it was a gun. And like, so the question, it's 18 months to 5 years. Do you think that was recklessness? That's what the real question is. And I have to tell you, before you answer my question, let's assume it was recklessness. Let's just assume that. Do you think you're getting a unanimous jury, number one, with a celebrity? Take that off. Now make the celebrity someone who's known for keeping a straight face while giving lines. That's what his forte is, that he can like not crack. And not, he's not an over actor. He underacts. Like, that's what his thing is. Mm-hmm. So, meaning that I would put him on the stand on anything. Like, why not? He could do any script you give him.
And, like, really good.
Solid.
He's pretty brilliant as Donald Trump in Saturday Night Live.
Without cracking. So too. He doesn't crack. Yeah. Like, you see other actors crack. Like, they're, ha-ha, that's funny.
Yeah,
like,
he's clearly showed national live television that he could do crazy things. Yeah. Like, really good.
So
very
the
talented.
Question is, can you get a unanimous jury? So I have two questions we're going to ask Cheryl because I want to know. Number one, was it recklessness? That's the one. Do you believe? It's just a thought. Do you believe it's recklessness? And number two, assuming it was, based on his celebrity and his talent in acting, if he was on the stand, are they ever getting a unanimous jury anyway? What do you think?
Right. So as to the first question, I don't see why the duty to have checked the gun should have been placed upon the actor in the first instance, because I don't think that there should be any occasion where any live rounds should be available ever near a set. So I don't think it's reasonable for an actor. Well, I think it's reasonable for an actor to assume without checking that his gun doesn't have a live round in it. And I don't think that extra burden should be placed on an actor. So
I agree
with that. So also.
Would you ever act in a Western moving forward? Like,
never.
Like,
if someone called me up. No way.
I would only do, back to our Star Trek conversation from upstairs, I would only do that because those tasers aren't real. So I'm not afraid I'm going to actually kill someone with a taser.
Right. Like, there's certain things you do that you need proper training. Like if you're going to go scuba diving, you have to go get a little scuba diving certificate. If you're going to go skydiving, you need
one
of those.
There's an assumption of risk as part of those activities.
So how are you? You're just an actor. You're performing a role, and now you're expected to be able to be in gun control.
And they pay someone else to be responsible for those guns, who is not the actor.
That's
so. How is it reckless for him to assume that somebody was doing their job?
So now let's assume it is reckless. That's my second part of the question. I'm going to go Alex on this one on part two.
Part two.
I want to know if you believe that the New Mexico prosecutor believes. I don't believe them. I think they're liars. I think they're playing chicken and they're liars. I want to know if you believe that they believe that they're going to get a jury to sign off on this, assuming it is reckless. I don't see. What do you think about this? Like, are they going into this? No way, right?
There's no possibility of that.
So why did they bring the charge? That's what I'm trying to understand. Is it because
they got pressure from the families?
Or is it because they already have a plea that they are going to offer them that's going to be nonsense? This is what I want to know.
Let's bet on that plea.
Is it going to be a plea that Alec agrees to give 1,000 hours? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Is he going to have to go teach theater camp in New Mexico?
Interesting.
There's an arts program. They're trying to compete with Yale Drama.
I smell malpros.
Yeah, no, but I see. That's what I think they're doing. And here's what I want to tell you all. I think that yes, you're right. There's pressure. He's a celebrity. Locals in places like New Mexico don't like him. And I can tell you I know that because I've been watching Yellowstone and I know that.
You're really big into Western.
Well, I know that they don't like us coastal people. They don't like us. That's what I learned. I learned about this. I know where not to go. But that's one thing. And I also think that this family, she died. It's tragic. She was important. Mm-hmm. I think that he's very polarizing with Trump, and some people don't like him because of that. And I think that the best thing that's going to happen is because we started off this conversation, and we were talking about ChatGPT, and it was January 7th that came out. And that's the new iteration. November 30th was the last one. And Lauren's version, for whatever idiotic reason, stops in 2021. Mine started in 2022. That's where it stopped. But most interesting, I wonder what the prosecutor's version stops at. Because I'll bet you they already know which plea Alex is going to accept before he's even started trying to accept it. This is the future. ChatGPT, I love you. Please don't hurt me. This is the Leapcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.